In the reading today, we heard from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Just a few brief words on that, because sometimes it's a little confusing for us in our modern day. What is this issue about circumcision? Right, especially with American medicine imitating British medicine, which imitated some Semitic customs. Circumcision is a common medical practice. And so what is going on here? Forget that, modern medical practice. In the ancient world, the only ones that were circumcised in this region at this time were the Jews, the Jewish men. And they also kept kosher. And in the early stages of the church, everyone in the church was circumcised. They were all Jews, kosher-keeping Jews. This was the early stage of the church. And then the Gentiles started to come in. And there was a debate among the Jewish Christians who were in charge of the church. Remember Peter, James, John, they were all Jews. What do we do with them? Well, do we baptize them? Can they be baptized if they're not yet circumcised and keeping kosher? If the new law is the fulfillment of the old, don't they first have to be in the old law to be fulfilled? So these are the debates that they wrestled with. And in fact, the first council of the apostles, the apostolic council in Acts 15, is to when the apostles gathered together to debate this matter. And so, Paul had to write to the churches in Galatia, this is Asia Minor, Turkey, where he had traveled many times, and explained to them that there was no need to be circumcised to keep kosher. These churches were all Gentile churches. But some Jewish Christians from Jerusalem had arrived and were telling them if they really wanted to be real Christians, they needed to be circumcised and give up the bacon and ham sandwiches. And so Paul has to write to them and say, this is not what we teach. This is a heresy. It was called the Judaizer heresy. And in fact, throughout the history of the church, there have been different episodes when a Judaizer heresy of one form or another has arisen. In the Middle Ages, there was a period of Judaizing among some groups of Christians. Today, you probably are familiar with what's called the Seventh-day Adventists, and also, less known, the Seventh-day Baptists, who keep the Sabbath. The Saturday Sabbath. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. That's what it says in the Old Testament. If you move about in these communities, you see that that's not all they do. They like to wear prayer shawls when no one's looking. They start Judaizing. They start toying around with Judaism. And in the end, the Judaizer heresy always ends up in apostasy. Because the new covenant is not like the old. Jesus said clearly, Mark chapter 7, it is not what goes into a man's mouth that makes him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth. For what comes out of his mouth comes from his heart. And as Mark tells us, and so he declared all foods clean. Done. Have your bacon and smile. Okay, there's no more of those laws, the food laws, and with the circumcision as well. More on that in another discussion. More importantly, the gospel. We heard about a very rich man who had everything he wanted. Beautiful clothing, beautiful home, all the food he could eat. In fact, it says he feasted sumptuously every day. So imagine your Thanksgiving dinner, every single dinner. Okay? Lots of food. Extra food. More than he could eat. So much so that the crumbs fall from his table. And there's a poor man out at his door, sleeping at the gate, Lazarus, who was hungry and sick and yearned to at least have some of the crumbs that would fall from this man's table. But nobody would give them to him. And then we hear that the dogs even came and licked his sores. That these unclean animals, the dog is, you think of swine as being the animal that the Jews hated. The dog is 10 times worse than that. Okay, so the dog, this lowest of creatures. Now don't think of Fluffy or your Labrador Retriever. maybe poodle. We're talking about mangy, flea-bitten animals. They were like big rats that ran around in the alleys eating scraps of food, and you hope you didn't get attacked by one. Says, even the dogs, these mangy, flea-bitten, lowly creatures, had pity on him. And they would come and lick his sores. How different they were than this rich man. And then when they died, they both died, it says that one went to the bosom of Abraham, the place of bliss, eternal happiness, and the other went to a place of torment, fire. And you know the rest of the story. So I want to ask you about your retirement plan. Do you have a retirement plan? I would imagine if we were to sit down, I asked you one by one, you don't have to tell me out loud, you probably, some of you have at least pondered what you will do in your retirement. How much money you will have. How long will you live? You might estimate that, well, I'll retire when I'm, say, 75 or so. Maybe 65, so who knows. And then I'll probably live to be maybe 85, 90 max. Maybe 100 if I'm lucky. So I'm going to need enough money to support myself for that time. And hopefully in some comfort. That's called a retirement plan, right? When we're young, we don't think too much about it. As we get older, we say, well, maybe I should start on this earlier. Start putting money into an IRA or something like that. That's our retirement plan here on earth. This rich man probably had a beautiful retirement plan. He had lots of money, more money than he knew what to do with. And so he probably never even had to worry about an idea of a point in his life when he might not be able to work anymore. Okay? So we'll say he had a very good retirement plan, more money than he knew what to do with. No concerns. The problem is he wasn't worried about his eternal retirement. The retirement that he and often we in this world think of is a period of 10, 20, 30 years. And will we have enough to sustain ourselves for that brief little time? But what about our eternal retirement? Our rest in the Lord, in the bosom of Abraham. Are we preparing for that retirement? Because that one will last much longer than 5 or 10 or 15 years. Have we deposited in our bank account? Have we got that IRA plan for eternity? Or have we forgotten about it? Not given it a second thought? Often as young people, we rarely think of these things. And as people begin to get older, they start to maybe become a little more pious and nice, thinking about these things, knowing that the end is approaching. But all of us, as with a material retirement and the plan therein, we should be thinking every day about our eternal retirement and our eternal plan to sustain us in that life. What is that? It's not building up riches in this world. There's nothing wrong with that, of having riches. They're a blessing from God. But what do you do with them? What did this man do with what God had given him? He had given this man, he'd entrusted him with more than he needed for his life. And of course, the surplus that God had given him was intended not to fall from his table as waste, but to be given to those who were in need, like Lazarus at the gate. But he would not. But he would not. So what are we doing with what God has given us in this life? The time, our talent, our treasure. Are we spending it? Are we wasting it? Are we investing it for the future? How do we invest? Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. The three pillars of Christian spirituality. We'll be talking much more about that as we approach the Nativity Fast. As you recall, in the Melkite tradition, we still keep the ancient tradition of a Nativity Fast or an Advent Fast. So start thinking about that fast. Start preparing for it now, getting ready, so that You can use that time for spiritual growth through more prayer and fasting and almsgiving. So that when we close our eyes in this world and open them to the next, we will be welcomed not into a place of torment, but a place in which we find Abraham and all of the patriarchs. Where we find ourselves in the bosom of Abraham, waiting to be raised from the dead when Jesus returns, and to enter into the newly planted Garden of Eden, paradise for all eternity with our Heavenly Father. How is this possible? How can we prepare? How can we have the strength daily? How can we fast? How can we pray? How can we give alms? Only through the grace of God. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is all given to us in a life, in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so let us daily ponder that relationship that we're working on now and that we will have for all eternity. And to Him be glory with His eternal Father, His all-holy good and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and to ages of ages. Amen.